Okay, good morning. We're going to continue the halachos of muksa. We started last week the halachos of muksa. We accomplished a lot last week, and we're going to continue Bez Hashem this morning. So last week we did the reasons for muksa. We also did the halacha of moving muksa, that the problem of muksa, the isur of muksa and shabbos, is only moving it, not touching it, not using it, except for a tree we discussed. We discussed the halachos of tiltum min atzad and tiltum begufo. Situations, many types of situations where you'd be allowed to move muksa on Shabbos and how you're allowed to move the muksa on Shabbos. We discussed carrying a child that's holding muksa and holding a child's hand that's holding muksa. And we discussed kli shemalachta laheter, the halachos of a kli that is for mutter, for permitted functions, like a table and a chair, and when are you allowed to move those items. So today what we're going to start with, Bez Hashem, is just to classify some other types of muksa. We're going to start with muksa machmas gufo. Muksa machmas gufo, gufo means it itself, which means the translation of muksa machmas gufo is that if something is not a kli, it's not a utensil, and by its very nature, its very essence, is totally functionless on Shabbos. It's something that does not have any purpose, any use on Shabbos, and it's not a kli. Such as rocks and twigs and pebbles and leaves and branches and sand and earth and the soil, bricks. Those are things that do not have a function on Shabbos, and it's not a kli. Those things are muksa machmas gufa. Now, we discussed last week already. There are situations where you are able to move such a thing with your foot or through something else. Those halachas we discussed last week. But those are things that are muksa machmas gufa. Now, it's not clear in the Paiskim how exactly to translate what is a kli, what is not a kli, but those are some examples that are for sure not a kli: rocks and pebbles and leaves and branches and things like that. If you want to designate those items before Shabbos, then there is a way that you could designate those items before Shabbos. Meaning, let's say there's a rock. A rock is muksa on Shabbos. Let's say everyone wants to know, can I use a rock as a paperweight on Shabbos? So the answer is no. You can't just use a rock and say, no, now I have a use for it, because now I want to use it as a paperweight. I want to hold it down something. That is not, you're not allowed to do. But if you know, if you decide that before Shabbos already, then there is a way that you'd be able to use that on Shabbos. And that is the following. There's two ways. If you want to designate something forever, that from now on, I want to use this rock as a paperweight, or from now on, I want to use this umbrella as a cane, or something like that. If I want to use, let's say I have a cell phone, and it's broken, so I want to use it as a toy for my children, right? A lot of people have that. Their old cell phone, they just get a new one, and they're able to use the old one as a toy for their children. So if you want to use it forevermore like that, so you have to designate it before Shabbos. With that, it's enough to just mentally designate. If you want to use it for forevermore, that's it. This is no longer the item that it used to be. Now my rock is going to be a paperweight. Now my umbrella is going to be a cane. Now my broken cell phone is going to be a toy. Now this sand is going to be used as a sand box, and it's going to be, my kids are going to play with it, it's going to be forevermore. Then just mentally, all you have to do before Shabbos, can't be on Shabbos, before Shabbos, just mentally designate that this is going to be used for something else. If it's going to be just for one Shabbos, you're not designating this forevermore, but you're just designating it for one Shabbos. Let's say you're a caterer and you have bricks in your backyard and you want to use these bricks to set up like a centerpiece. Of course, you'll cover it, let's say, with a tablecloth or something like that, and you want to use it as a centerpiece. You want to be able to put stuff on it. So how are you going to pick it up? How are you going to move it on Shabbos? Bricks are muksa. But if you want to designate it just for one Shabbos, then you have to do an act to that object. Meaning you have to chip it, or shave it, or let's say cover it in a cloth around it. Some Paiskim say you could do that. If you want to designate it just for one Shabbos, then you have to do an actual act to that item. But like we said before, if you want to designate it for forevermore, as a toy, or as a game, or for some other usage, then you need to designate it before Shabbos. Then it could be, it's enough if it's just mentally that it's good to go. What Paiskim talk about is, let's say you don't designate it specifically, but you just use it many, many times. Let's say when I put the sand in the sandbox, right, I bought it from Home Depot and I schlepped it to my backyard and I dumped it in my little sandbox in the back, but I didn't have anything in mind specifically, but my kids just used the sandbox many, many times. or my cell phone, my old cell phone that I gave to my kids to use, if they used it many, many times as a toy, so then the Mishnah Berurah says that that's sufficient. That that's enough to be considered as if you designated as a toy. It's no longer considered like a cell phone. Now it's considered a toy. And if you use something many times, so there are plenty of Paiskim, including the Mishnah Berurah, that say that that's sufficient to designate as something else. Balei Chayim, animals and pets. Now, I don't know if anyone here has pets in the house, but it's important because even if you don't have pets, but I'm sure you all know people that have pets, or your kids beg you for pets, and or you go to somebody's house and they have pets. So the halacha is, the Shulchan Aruch says, that animals and pets, the Shulchan Aruch says animals, any balei chayim, are muksa on Shabbos. Those are also muksa machmas guvo. And you can't shecht them on Shabbos, even if it's a kosher animal. You can't shecht it on Shabbos. Your neighbor is walking the dog, passing by, and the kids want to pet the dog on Shabbos. The dog is muksa. Right? If the kids are little kids and they're below the age of chinuch, so fine, that's a different discussion. Maybe you don't have to stop them. But a dog is muksa on Shabbos. Also, spider webs, the Paiskim say, but a dog is muksa on Shabbos. If a person has a dog in the house and the dog is going crazy and he's bumping into things and he needs to go for a walk, so the Mishnah Berurah says that even in a case where it's going to cause a hefsid, even if it's going to cause a loss of money, still we don't permit muksa just because it's a loss of money. If a person, if the dog is ruining things in the house and you want to get the dog out, it's still considered muksa. Now, we just discussed a moment ago that if you designate something before Shabbos, then it's not considered muksa. What the place can discuss is, let's say I have my pet and I designate it before Shabbos that this is my pet and I want it to be as my toy. I want to cuddle with my dog and I want to be able to pick up my pet hamster or my pet cat or whatever it is. So there it's a discussion, is that sufficient or not? Rav Moshe Feinstein says that is not sufficient. He says it is still considered muksa. Therefore, a person needs to be very careful. If for a seeing eye dog, someone who's blind has a seeing eye dog, there the place can say that that would be allowed because that's like a 100% of his designation. It's designated fully, and there's other things to rely on. So, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and Rav Moshe Feinstein seems to say also that that would be sufficient. Someone who needs a seeing eye dog, but generally speaking, an animal is muksa. If someone wants to walk a dog, so they're holding the leash, they're not touching it, so let's say there's an Eruv, so then let's say that's not a problem. Perhaps in a case where it's Tsar Balei Chaim and the dog is going crazy inside the house and he needs to get out, but not then perhaps there is what to rely on. Someone would have to ask a Shaila at that time. You walk around Passaic, you see people are walking the dogs, perhaps they asked a Shaila and they got a heter for Tsar Balei Chaim reasons. Generally speaking, an animal is muksa. That's what our poskim say. If a person really needs, so then a person could ask a shayla. A person is allowed to feed their own animals on Shabbos. He's not allowed to feed other animals on Shabbos, but animals that belong to you, you're allowed to feed on Shabbos. A fish tank is a big machlokas. Is a fish tank muksa? The fish itself is muksa. Right, that we just said, the animals are considered muksa. What about the fish tank? So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and others say that a fish tank is not muksa. Why? Because since it's considered pretty and it's nice, you want to move it into the other room to be. I think we were talking about this with somebody last week. It's considered pretty, so it's lanoi. So then I have a purpose for it. That's not considered muksa. Plenty of other places can say not like that, including Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Avadi Yosef and others. They say that a fish tank is muksa. My son last week just got a goldfish from his Rebbe for whatever prize he deserved. So a fish tank, he's allowed to feed it on Shabbos because it's his, but I imagine I'll be allowed to feed it as well. But it's considered muksa. It would not be allowed to move on Shabbos a little fish tank. I don't think that's considered pretty that you want to move it into the kitchen or into the dining room. A fish tank like an aquarium, that's I think what Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is referring to, that that's considered pretty and that has another usage, then that perhaps would not be muksa. But I think a regular fish bowl with a goldfish is pretty gross. My son never changes the water and it gets pretty gross, and so I think that would be, according to everybody, that would be muksa. If somebody has a bug in their soup or a bug in their soda, so that is allowed to be removed. A couple months ago when we started the Lachos of Borer, we discussed how one would be allowed to remove the bug from their soda, from their soup on Shabbos. There are those that say that that's not considered muksa because it's not considered as if I'm moving the muksa item. It's just, it's called cleaning the soup. It's called cleaning the soda. Anyway, it could be that it's a heter to remove the bug from the soup because what we call the graf shel ra'eh, which we need to discuss, that there's certain permission to to move things that are disgusting to you. So a dead animal or a dead insect, even if it's not dead, a mouse trap is also muksa, but if it's considered disgusting to you, so we have to get to those halachas of graf sura A, there could be, though, there will be leniencies that you'll be allowed to move it, but if it's not considered disgusting to you, generally speaking, a bug would be muksa. If you have a cockroach running around the house, so I would imagine that's also be considered graf sura A, that's considered disgusting, and you'll be allowed to move it. You could even pick it up with your fingers if you want, but if you don't want to, you can move it with a broom. Anyways, that's total minatzad, like we discussed last week. Money is not a kli, so therefore money is considered muks machmas gufo. There is no permitted use on Shabbos. Like we said before, if you want to designate it before Shabbos as a toy, maybe that's a different discussion. But generally speaking, we do not do that. So therefore, money is muksa on Shabbos. A button is, growing up, I always assumed the button was muksa. A button falls off on Shabbos, so you have to be careful, don't touch it, a button is muksa. And that's, Rav Moshe Feinstein does say that, he says you should be machmir and consider a button muksa on Shabbos. It's not so simple. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has a svara, has a logic that if you're going to use this button again, if it's a rare button that you need this button to sew back on after Shabbos, of course you can't sew it on Shabbos, but if you're going to need it, then you're going to have it after Shabbos to sew back on, or perhaps even not a rare button, but a button that you need this button for the future, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that if it fell off on Shabbos, then it's not considered muksa. Okay? Rabbi Moshe Feinstein seems to say, not like that. I would imagine, don't pick up the button. It's not such a big deal. Like we discussed last week, you could kick it to the side if you really need to and you really need to save that button. But again, if it's a button that you're going to be using again in the future and you want to be able to sew it back on after Shabbos, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says it's not a problem. If it's a standard button that you don't need it again, so now it has no usage on Shabbos, so then even Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach would agree that this button would be considered muksa.
I'm sorry, perhaps you addressed this already, but let's say it's something like a button that's dangerous.
We're going to get to dangerous things in a moment as far as broken glass and medicine. We'll get to that shortly.
I'm sorry, can I just, like, on that, but if it fell off, let's say, I also was thought that, like, let's hear somebody's house and it falls off, and you know, if you kick it to the side,
you're never going to get it again, right? And you need that button again?
Yeah, because it matches.
Yeah, because you want specifically that button that matches. Yeah, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says it's not a problem.
You can actually take it home with you?
Yeah, put it in your pocket. That's what Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says. Yeah. If it fell off on Shabbos. Not if it fell off before Shabbos, then ready from when Shabbos started and no usage. If it fell off on Shabbos, that means when Shabbos started, it was batal to your beged, to your garment, and it was not considered muksa. Then if it fell off on Shabbos and you need this, so Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says it's not muksa.
What about jewelry? Like if you have a pearl bracelet and it breaks, or an earring that breaks.
So something, right, so that would be the same type of idea, I guess. If you still want this and it has a usage because you're going to fix it after Shabbos, then it'll I'd imagine not be considered muksa. Foods that are not edible. We touched upon this last week when we were discussing getting things out of the freezer. So foods that are not edible on Shabbos are muksa machmas gufo. Of course, on Shabbos we can't cook. When we get to the halachos of Yontif, perhaps these halachos will be different. But on Shabbos, these things cannot be cooked. Something that's raw, and those things are muksa on Shabbos. Raw beans, potatoes, popcorn kernels, raw fish. Okay, sushi, perhaps nowadays sushi can make things a little bit different, but a standard case, I think, of raw fish that someone would not eat like that, then now perhaps that would be muksa. I'm not exactly sure how sushi is eaten. I'm not a big sushi guy. It could be raw fish. The place cannot say that raw fish nowadays is not considered muksa, because people would eat raw fish. Pasta, rice, flour, yeast, you don't have to write everyone thing down. Baking powder, we discussed last week. Frozen chicken cutlets. Those are considered muksa because they're not able to be used on Shabbos, and of course you can't make them usable on Shabbos because you can't cook on Shabbos. Raw meat. What about raw meat? So the Shulchan Aruch says that raw meat is not muksa. He says because some people chew it, and there are people that chew on raw meat. But many paiskim say that nowadays we don't do that anymore, and therefore even though the Shulchan Aruch says raw meat is not muksa, many paiskim say that raw meat is considered muksa. That paiskim say that it's switched, because raw fish, the Shulchan Aruch says, is muksa. So nowadays maybe it's not muksa. And the Shulchan Aruch says raw meat is not muksa, and nowadays maybe it's yes muksa. So many paiskim say that you have to go with what's considered nowadays. Is it considered usable nowadays? Foods that are eaten raw are obviously not a problem. Carrots are not muksa on Shabbos, of course, because those are eaten raw. Eggs, we were discussing eggs last week. I think after the shiur, we were discussing eggs. The Shulchan Aruch says eggs are not muksa. And like we were discussing after the shiur last week, you don't have to move it from the door of your fridge, because Shulchan Aruch says it's not muksa. And the Paiskim nowadays say it hasn't changed. I make sure with Rabbi Sachs, he also said it's not considered muksa nowadays. The Archazonim that eat raw eggs. And since some people do eat raw eggs, and of course, therefore, the carton of eggs as well, is not muksa. If something's frozen, let's say it's cooked, but then it's frozen in the freezer, so that's also not muksa, because technically you don't have to do anything to it on Shabbos to get it edible. All you have to do is just let it defrost, and once it's defrosted, if it's cooked already, then it would not be muksa. Right, so we discussed last week if you have frozen food in the freezer. So let's say it's something frozen, and let's say it's not cooked. So then that is muksa. So if you have something that's not muksa behind it, you have the ice cream behind it in the freezer, so then that item that's in front of it, the frozen meat, let's say nowadays frozen meat is muksa, so we discussed last week, you can't just simply move the frozen meat to get to the ice cream behind it in the freezer. You would have to do tilta minatzad or tilta begufo, either move the frozen meat with your elbow, or if you can't, then with the back of your hand, or like we said last week, you reach the ice cream, you pull it out, and even if the frozen meat moves, that was considered tilta minatzad, it moved through something else. I didn't touch the actual frozen meat. I touched the ice cream, and then the ice cream moved the meat. So we said that would be permitted.
And if the frozen meat, if the frozen meat falls out of the freezer,
Can you pick it up from the floor?
Can you pick it up and put it back?
Because there are some paiskim that say that frozen meat is not muksa, because the Shulchan Aruch says it's not muksa.
Like the button, you're going to use it again.
So I saw by Simcha Burim Kohn, he says that by frozen meat, he says by cases of necessity, then you'd be allowed to rely that that's not considered muksa. Moshe Feinstein says it's considered muksa nowadays, but the awesome paiskim that say that since the Shulchan Aruch says it's not muksa, so even nowadays it's not muksa, if it fell to the floor and it's a very important piece of roast, and it's $40, and I would imagine that's even though we said hefsid is you're not allowed to move muksa for the purpose of a loss of money, but here we're talking about something that some people say is not muksa, so therefore I would imagine in such a case that would be allowed, especially if someone could trip on it, or if it's not considered nice, it's not considered, guests are coming and it's frozen meat on the floor, I would imagine by frozen meat that would be allowed, because there are some paiskim that say that it's not muksa, but generally speaking you should try and consider it muksa. What about medicine? Big discussion about medicine on Shabbos. Rabbi Yashiv holds that medicine is not muksa. If you have aspirin or Tylenol or Advil, he says that's not considered muksa on Shabbos. And the reason is because if somebody becomes sick in the house, hopefully not, but if somebody becomes sick in the house, then it's permitted to take medicine. We're not going into the halachas now of taking medicine on Shabbos, but if somebody classifies as a chola she'en bo sakana, whatever it takes to become that, so then a person is allowed to take medicine on Shabbos. Therefore, says Rabbi Yashiv, it's not considered muksa, because someone could at any time become sick, and therefore it's not considered muksa. Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach say that medicine is considered muksa if there is no one sick in the house right now. There is a difference between Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach seems to say that it's a kli. Rav Moshe Feinstein seems to say it's not a kli. Other halachas we'll get to, but those two paiskim, Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman, they seem to say that medicine is muksa if you have medicine sitting on the counter, and let's say, we'll hold off for a second about children maybe getting to it and maybe dangerous, we'll get to that shortly, but standard, if you open up your medicine cabinet and you want to get to something that's not muksa, you want to get to the Shabbos toothpaste or the Shabbos toothbrush, and the medicine is in the way, so preferably you should not just simply move the medicine to the side, because you have Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Shlomo Zalman that say that medicine is muksa. If you can't, and you can't reach to something else behind it, then Rabbi Yashiv says that that's not considered muksa. They all agree, though, that if somebody does become sick, then it's no longer muksa, because even if it is considered muksa, you're allowed to do something with the rabbanon for the purpose of somebody who is sick. So if somebody does become sick, they are allowed to take that medicine. Question?
Yeah, I actually have a question about the frozen.
Yeah.
So does that mean, if you have, they have those frozen cubes of garlic and dill, and
okay,
can you take those out to use, let's say, for a dressing or something?
So those, I think what my wife does is that you could just put it in the dressing and it'll defrost. You don't need to do anything to it to make it fit. Right, exactly. Right. Meaning as long as it's able, if it's a food that is able to become usable on Shabbos, then it's not muksa. Because all I have to do is just take it out of the freezer. Now, in a few minutes, however many, even a half hour, an hour, will become usable. Something that needs to be cooked, so that can't become usable on Shabbos. Yontif is different. But on Shabbos, that can't become usable, so then that's considered muksa machmas kufra. But something like dill or something like that, or something frozen garlic, that could become usable, so then of course, not of course, but we say that that's all you have to do, so then therefore that's not considered muksa.
If someone comes to borrow medicine, then that's not considered muksa?
Definitely they would be the one. I'm sorry.
It happens to my husband.
Yeah, for sure. That's a good question. Right. For sure. I would imagine for a doctor and for a doctor's wife, And I'd imagine medicine is not muksa because, first of all, we have Rabbi Yashiv, that anyways, it's not muksa. Okay. But anyways, if somebody, that is considered, like, everyone feels part of your house because they could just come in and say, I'm sick, I need medicine. So then imagine that's already considered not muksa already from before. Well, your question is, as far as a neighbor, if a neighbor could come, if you're not embarrassed to lead them into your bathroom and, you know, they could take it themselves, for sure that would be okay. Can you pick it up and hand it to them? Because right. You have to be the ones to go upstairs and get it. I would imagine that's not a problem. I would imagine that's not a problem. I'd have to check into that.
If someone has an allergy, they always need medicine on them. So that's
yeah, for sure. Yeah, right? Yeah, that's considered they need it. They're, yeah, definitely. Because even if they're not a chola right now, but they have the opportunity to become a chola, so then the place can say that that's also allowed. Yeah.
So I thought that was a halacha in general, that if there's someone to be so meichan, like, let's say, just for example, like, I don't use wipes on Shabbos, but I have plenty of friends that they're, whoever they ask, they do use wipes on Shabbos. I always let them take my wipes.
They could take your wipe.
I don't give it to them.
Right, exactly. That's what we said, that someone else could come take it, definitely.
So isn't that the general halacha? Like, if
for sure, but someone else could take it, for sure, but this, she's not even asking as far as relying on something else. This neighbor is actually sick. She was asking that this neighbor was actually sick. So for that neighbor, even according to Moshe Mishamazam, it's not muksa. So for sure, the neighbor could come and take it. She wanted to know, can I pick it up?
Right.
I'm not sick, and let's say, not even relying on other place. Can I go? Would Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Shamazam, and say that that's muksa for me to pick it up for my neighbor? So it could be that, that will be not be a problem. I'd have to look into that more.
Yeah, what about baby wipes? You don't use wipes and someone wants
baby
to
wipes.
Use them for them?
I'm sorry?
If you don't use it and someone else does, you can't
answer
that.
I know.
Like, I didn't say that. She said that. I didn't say that. I said, well, baby wipes are a big discussion. It's a
shame. I should say my wipes are over there.
Or whatever, usher, and someone
preferably not. Preferably not. Preferably not. Preferably not. I'm not saying it's usher because there is what to rely on, but I would imagine, you know, I would imagine preferably not.
And it gets uncomfortable.
It gets very uncomfortable. A lot of things uncomfortable. Trust me, I go to plenty of people's houses. We discussed opening bottles and things like that, opening cans. Things get uncomfortable. But there are ways, unless I have some enemies out there that I don't know of, there are ways to keep to your own extra chumras. It doesn't have to be the wildest chumras without stepping on people's toes. Can I? Blee Nether. Okay, 10 o'clock. Blee Nether, you'll be first. Food remnants. Shells, let's discuss shells, bones, pits, and peels. Shells are muksa on Shabbos. You have eggshells, you peel an egg, let's say it was a hard-boiled egg from before Shabbos, and you want to peel an egg on Shabbos. So the eggshells and nutshells, like pistachios, shells are muksa on Shabbos, generally speaking. Preferably when you peel an egg, you should peel the egg straight over the garbage. Bones. That depends. As far as bones, it's a big discussion. Are bones muksa on Shabbos? It could be, it depends on the living habits of people in that community. If people would suck on a bone after it's eaten, or would they give it to a pet? Quite possibly a bone that still be eaten, that you suck out the marrow, then that would not be considered muksa because it still has a permitted use. If nobody uses the bones in that community and no one uses the bones, then perhaps it would be considered muksa. Pits are muksa. So what's the best way to eat a fruit? You want to eat a peach or something like that, and there's a pit inside. So preferably to spit it directly into the garbage. You can't always necessarily eat directly over the garbage can. But what's allowed to be done is the same as when we have by pits or by peels, by other things, is if when you take it out, you put it straight onto a plate. If you put it straight onto a plate, then already there's two ways to do it. If you have, let's say, a piece of food on the plate, a candy or a little bit of bread. So that other part of the food, that candy or that piece of bread, is not muksa. I put the pit that is muksa, if I put it down on the plate, then already I have a plate that, like we discussed last week with the plate of the dishes, with the cookies, so then it has on it something that is not muksa, together with something that is muksa. Then it will be considered much more lenient if you want to be able to throw out the pit, or let's say shells of a pistachio or things like that, so then you'll be able to move the plate along with the non-muksa item. And even though we said last week that it has to be for the purpose of the non-muksa item, but let's say I need the place on the table and I don't want it sitting around, and therefore I will be allowed to move the plate together with the morsel of bread and the candy, then that will be considered permitted. I'm allowed to even put the candy on the plate with the pit after the pit is there. Preferably you should have something there beforehand, but if you put a non-muksa item together with the muksa item, then like we discussed last week, that would be considered tiltum min atzad. You'd be allowed to move the plate, and then you would just put the pit You tilt it directly into the garbage can. Many times you have peels like that also. There are plenty of peels that are not edible. You have banana peel, avocado peel, a grapefruit peel. So if there's some little bit of food still connected to the grapefruit, which a lot of times there is, then it's not muksa because there's still some food connected to the peel. But if the peel, if you wipe that peel off totally with all the avocado off of it and all the banana off of the peel, all the watermelon or the cantaloupe off of the rind, whatever you call it, the peel, and those peels are muksa. A lot of times you'll cut up a watermelon on Shabbos and you cut it all the way down to the rind, and then you have all these watermelon peels and the rinds on the counter. Those are muksa. If there's no red left, then those would be considered muksa. You have to be careful how you get rid of it. So those are something to keep in mind. So if you put it on an empty plate, so perhaps then the problem is it may get into the problems of buses. It may come into the problems of buses. If you put, which we're going to have to discuss buses, Bezer Hashem, next week.
Buses is only if it's on like Erev Shabbos.
If it's on Erev Shabbos, then if it's then it remains a buses the entire Shabbos. But there are plenty of places can say that even if it was not there before Shabbos, if it was put there on Shabbos, then as long as it's still on that plate, then it is considered buses. Those are halachas we have to discuss next week. And like, you know, with the coat, with the things in the pockets we have to discuss. If it gets not before Shabbos and it gets removed on Shabbos, it was not there, then it was there, and then it was not there, those, that perhaps are not considered muksa. We have to discuss those halachas. But, I'm sorry? You don't have to peel your eggs before. You don't have to. We discussed by borer that it's not considered borer because since it's surrounding it, because why?
Your hard-boiled egg.
Why?
Why?
It's like a thing.
Like on
Shabbos. Oh, okay, fine. That's a reason not to do it before Shabbos.
Not to do before Shabbos.
And not to do before Shabbos. Oh, okay, fine. No, so I thought she was asking that you're supposed to do it before Shabbos.
No, yeah, I was. Because is that true?
As far as borer, we discussed about, as far as the halachos of borer, anything that's a peel that surrounds it is not a problem of borer. It's not a problem of taking the bad from the good. Because... So preferably peel it right over the garbage can. It's not.
Okay, but then the only thing is that I also heard that you're not supposed to peel eggs, right? What's the thing?
No. As far as being left overnight, like onions and eggs and things like that, that's nothing to do with Hilchos Shabbos. Right. That's dinner and Shulchan Aruch brings it, or the Ramah brings it in Yordea. As far as unpeeled eggs left over overnight, perhaps if it's in a bag, it's not a problem. But you know, those are separate halachas. I would have to look into more. There are some peels. Hold on 1 second. There are some peels that are still edible. Those peels are obviously not a problem. You have apple peels or pear peels, right? That can sometimes for the children, you want to peel the fruit before, or grapes, you want to peel it. So if any food, any of the peels that are still edible, those of course are not muksa, those are still edible. Orange peels, this is a story with the Vilna Gaon, are orange peels edible or not? What would you think? Yeah. Orange peels? Yeah?
Yeah, they have chocolate covered
orange peels. Okay, fine. The Vilna Gaon, there's a story with the Vilna Gaon that one time his wife moved an orange peel and he was afraid that, you know, she moved something muksa, so the Vilna Gaon ate the orange peel. So then they thought, okay, now it's edible, so now, you know, it's not considered wife the muksa. Fine, you have to know about orange peels.
If you have like a plastic on top of your table, like, you know, those throwaway plastic,
right,
and you put the peels, like the,
right,
the
pistachio, so
good, nut shells on the plastic,
right,
and
so
then you can wrap it.
You can wrap it all. That would be considered tiltum min hatzad. That would be considered tiltum min hatzad. And if it's for the purpose of, you know, getting a clean table, then that would be allowed. If you don't have a plastic, that you can't do that. But you can't do that. Sorry.
Why is it different than an empty plate?
Empty plate also, we said, could be it's okay. Preferably to have a non-muksa item on it as well. But if you don't have the non-muksa item on it, it could run into a problem of buses because you specifically put it on the plate. On a tablecloth, that's not a problem of buses. You just happen to put it on. It's not like you put it on the tablecloth because you want it on the tablecloth. You put it specifically on the plate. That could be more problems of buses. We're going to have to get to those halachas of buses. If you're not able to throw out the tablecloth, what the Mishnah Berurah says you could do is, if you have peels or shells, you take a knife and you could swipe it off the table with a knife. That is the tiltum min hatzad, according to the Mishnah Berurah. Straight into a garbage or onto a plate, perhaps. Yeah, you could, maybe preferably, I guess, onto the garbage. We have to discuss it for garbage is muksa. Again, these are all halachos of buses. You'll be surprised what Rabbi Sachs told me about garbage cans.
Mm-hmm.
I'll save that for you for next week. I'll give you one more week of respite. Yeah.
Is there an issue of borer in peeling them?
No, it's not a borer because since it's also food, so it's considered food from food, and that's not a problem.
But I'm taking what could be from.
But that's not a problem. By peeling a general, by peeling a general, much more lenient, because since there's no way to get to the inside without getting rid of the outside, so then that's the normal way to do it. That's not considered bad from the good, and especially in this case where it may be even considered good from the good. Okay, broken kelim, which discusses we touched on before. Let's say something breaks on Shabbos. You have an item that has a use on Shabbos, and then it breaks, and now no longer is able to be used. A cup, a glass falls on the floor, and it shatters, and then now it has no use on Shabbos, so that is muksa. It has no purpose on Shabbos anymore, even though when it started Shabbos, it did have a use, it was a working kli, but once it breaks, then it's muksa. If you have your daughter's headband, and your daughter breaks her headband, so now it's no longer usable on Shabbos, that is muksa, right? Because there's no longer any usage, and then that is considered muksa. If it still has some other type of usage, it's not muksa, but if it no longer could be used, then it is muksa. If a watch breaks on Shabbos, but it's still nice for jewelry, right? My gold watch, my in-laws got me a gold watch a bunch of years ago when I got married, 10 years ago when I got married, and it broke, and I went to find out how much on Main Avenue, how much it cost to fix. It cost a few hundred dollars to fix, and my gold watch has been broken for a number of years already. But I still wear it every Shabbos, because for me that's considered jewelry. And it's still, you know, men usually don't wear jewelry, but I'm wearing it because it's nice. We consider that jewelry. And even technically, quite possibly, even if there's no Erev, I would be allowed to use it. That I don't do. If I'm somewhere with no Erev, I don't wear my gold watch because it's broken and I would have to really rely on certain paiskim. But for sure, as far as muksa is concerned, many paiskim say that it's not considered muksa, because since the gold, even the can't tell time, it's my watch has been stuck at 10 to 6 for a few years, but it's considered jewelry for me, and it makes my wife happy, makes my in-laws happy, my mother-in-law for sure, and therefore I continue to wear it. I don't consider it muksa. The paiskim say that's not considered muksa because it's still considered jewelry. If you have a broken shoe is muksa. It has no point on Shabbos. The strap is broken, now you can't wear it. Says Rabbi Yashiv, even the other shoe is muksa, because you're not going to wear one shoe without the other shoe. So Rabbi Yashiv says that even the other shoe is muksa.
With all these halachos, you're saying that you can't touch them, you can't move them.
So we discussed last week that touching is allowed, but you can't move them.
So you cannot move a broken headband.
You can't move unless tolta begufo, tolta menatzad, like we discussed last week. But generally, you can't. A broken headband, your daughter comes over to you and says, "Look, my headband broke." So we discussed last week as far as your child holding a broken item. But let's say she puts it on the counter or it's on the floor, it's muksa. The other ways to move muksa, we discussed last week, but that is muksa. Now, as far as the broken dishes, which we touched on before, if you have a shattered glass on the floor, so if it may cause a damage to the public, then you are allowed to move it. It's only asa midrabanan. We discussed last week that all muksa is only asa midrabanan. Since it's only asa on a derabanan level, if it may cause a damage to the public, then you are allowed to move it. What is considered the public? So the paiskim say either three adults. If you have three adults in the house, then since that's considered a lot of people, then perhaps someone's going to get hurt and you are allowed to move it. Or one child. If you have one child in the house and there is broken glass on the floor, or what was it you wanted to know about before?
The button,
right? If you're afraid that you have a little child and they're going to pick up a button and put it in their mouth, that is dangerous, of course, and that will be allowed to be moved straight out. Pais can say you're allowed to even just pick it up and pick it up and move it. If it's possible to do tiltum and atzad, especially by broken glass, anyways, you're not going to pick it up with your hands. Sweeping with broom is considered tiltum and atzad. Then you can put it in the garbage. Yeah, once you pick it up, you can put it in the garbage. If you can do tiltum and atzad, the best. If you can move the button with a broom, that'll be great. If you're not able to, let's say by broken glass or something, then that is permitted. You're allowed to just do it straight if you need to pick it up. If a child or three adults may get hurt, and in this in Karel it says that so too by medicine. Even according to the Paiskim that say that medicine is muksa, and you have no neighbors coming over or anything like that, even if it's muksa, if it's in a vicinity where a child could get to the muksa, to the medicine, and it's poison or something like that, then that is also considered a valid sakana, and therefore it would be allowed to be moved. Let's move on. I am not going to tell you the halachas of newspapers and catalogs and books and envelopes because your husbands will get very upset.
Maybe you should tell us anyway.
Maybe I should tell you at 10 o'clock once the MP3 comes off. It's not me, it's our Moshe Feinstein, and it's the Chazon Ish, and I'm missing Krelitz, but somehow I always get the blame for these things. My mother was by me this past Shabbos, and she was reading a newspaper, which there is what to rely on. I'm not telling there's nothing what to rely on. So she said, "Oh, yes, look at this. You know, there's something here about..." I said, I'll look at it after Shabbos. Whoa, she was not happy with me. But, she told my wife, she said, when I handed him over to you, he was fine. And, you know, I didn't, he's not. But,
a Jewish newspaper?
It happened to have been a Jewish newspaper, yes. But there was advertisements all over the newspaper. So we'll talk about this later, okay? Let's discuss the halachas of muksa machmas chasarin keis. So all now what we were talking until now was muksa machmas gufo. Things that do not have a use on Shabbos, because there was not edible food, or something broken, or something like that. Now let's discuss for a few minutes muksa machmas chesaron kis. Muksa machmas chesaron kis. Now, literally, chesaron kis means a loss of money. Kis means a pocket or a purse. So, kis means that's a machmas chesaron kis, that's something that's a loss of money. So, something that is, for starters, something that is very expensive. And I would not use it for anything else. Let's say I have an expensive camera. We were discussing last week the luxury of a camera on a chair and things like that. Many cameras are expensive, and I will not let my kids just play around with it. Something that is considered expensive, and I would not use it just laying around, that is considered muksa, because muksa, the translation of the word muksa, means set aside. So that's set aside. I would not use that, and I would not just use it for anything. So something that has a forbidden use, it's a camera, and it's not just a forbidden use, but it's something that's very expensive, then that is considered muksa machmas chesaron kis, and that is also muksa on Shabbos. The truth is, the Paiskim say that it's not only something that is expensive, but what the Paiskim classify it is as something that's set aside. It doesn't have to be so expensive, but it's something that's set aside that I won't use for anything else, then that could be considered muksa, machmas, chesaron kis, even if it's not considered expensive. I've had many discussions with this with Rabbi Sachs as far as a mila knife, right? The classic case that the Shulchan Aruch says is the knife of a mayel is muksa on Shabbos. After the bris is over, then it's muksa on Shabbos. Now, over there, a lot of times the knife of a mayel is very expensive, so of course it makes a lot of sense. But a lot of mayelim, myself included, we just use a disposable blade that you buy in a box of 100. It costs about 25 cents each. It's the sharpest, it's the most sterile, and so it's not expensive whatsoever. But I would not necessarily use the mila knife to cut cucumbers. So I set it aside only for certain things. So quite possibly, if it's set aside, then I would not use it. Then it's considered muksa machmas chesaron kis. One time I did use my mila knife for something else during the week. I used it for something else, and I was telling my wife, okay, it could be now, it's not muksa on Shabbos. But something that's set aside, that could be a problem of muksa.
When you say set aside, you mean for a specific use?
For a specific use. You wouldn't just use it, you wouldn't just keep it laying around for your kids to touch. That's considered set aside. And that's considered muksa machmas chesaron kis, even if it's not expensive. Let's say you have a very fancy painting on the wall. So that's something very expensive. That is also muksa machmas chesaron kis. You're not able to move it and adjust it, besides hanging it up on Shabbos, which is bona issues, but moving it would be a problem of Shabbos. If the primary, a camera, a cell phone, there are things that are very, let's say, set aside, something that's not necessarily expensive, a birth certificate, a passport, a license, an iPod, a receipt, something that a receipt to a store that I bought an item of clothing, and I may want to return it. So if I want to return this, I bought an outfit and I want to return it to the store. So that's set aside. I'm not going to use it because I want to return it to the store and they may not accept it if I use it. So even if it's not so expensive, just I know I'm going to be going back to a century and I'm going to return it. The Paiskim say that's muksa machmas chesaron kis. You can't use that. You can't touch that outfit on Shabbos because this is set aside. I'm going to return it. Let's say you sell stuff from your house. You sell something from your house and you don't let your family use those items because you want to sell them. They have to be in perfect condition. So those are muksa on Shabbos because you can't use it even if it's not expensive. But it's set aside. You know where you would leave it lying around. Something that's set aside that you would not let people touch and you yourself would not touch during the week. That all is included in muksa machmas chesaron kis. You have to be careful with that. A parking ticket. You don't want to lose that parking ticket because when you go to court, you need it. So it's not very expensive, but that's set aside. You're not able to use it. If the primary use, let me just finish with this, if the primary use is mutter, is permitted, then even if it's expensive, you're allowed to use it. Let's say you have a necklace that's very expensive. Of course, that's not muksa on Shabbos because that has a permitted use on Shabbos. I'm allowed to wear my jewelry even if it's very expensive. I have fancy china. I have a very expensive becher, a very expensive challah knife. Those are all permitted usage on Shabbos, and therefore that is not a problem. That's not muksa machmas chesaron kis because that is permitted use on Shabbos.
How could you move these items if you need to?
Tolta begufo or tolta menatzad. We have to get to Mitzvah Shem next week, a kli, something that's a kli that is not muksa machmas chasar and kiss. There's going to be other ways. We talked about scissors and hammers and things like that. But as far as something that's muksa machmas chasar and kiss, the only way is the other way. Like, you can't just pick it up whatsoever unless it's tolta begufo or tolta menatzad. Hold on 1 second, do me a favor. You'll be second at 10 o'clock. Blank paper. Let's discuss paper for a second. Paper. Now, paper is not expensive, right? The Mishnah Berurah says paper is muksa. Okay, the Mishnah Berurah says paper is muksa. Now, in those days, paper was very expensive. It was very hard to get paper. However they made paper from the wood or whatever they did, paper was very hard to get. It was probably expensive. So that was clear that was muksa machmas chasar and kiss. Nowadays, paper is not expensive. You go to Staples, you buy for 19 cents, you buy a package of 100 pieces of paper. So paper is not expensive at all nowadays. So is paper muksa? So the Apaiskin that say that nowadays paper is not muksa whatsoever because it's not expensive. However, the Apaiskin that say, many Apaiskin, Chazanish, Rav Moshe, they discuss that, from this in Karelitz, that it is, that quite possibly paper is still muksa. Why? Even though it's not expensive, because it is set aside, right? You have that package of paper right there. That's a perfect package of paper. Would you let your kids just color on that paper? Would you?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you would, fine. Then for you, perhaps it's not muksa. There are plenty of paiskim anyways that say it's not muksa nowadays. Rabbi Shamazam and Rabbi Yashiv, Rabbi Vosner, they say it's not muksa. But if it's a type of paper that you would not let your kids just use, especially if it's a fancy computer paper, a fax paper, or, you know, like the special paper you use for your printer, that if you would not let your kids color on that, that is set aside, and then that would be considered muksa according to many paiskim. If you have a notebook, this notebook right here, is this muksa on Shabbos? So I have plenty of things written on it. So it's not muksa. This is Torah. Those are not muksa on Shabbos. I'm allowed to pick it up. But in the back, I have a couple papers. Okay, I don't. But let's say I did have a couple papers that were not written on. Those papers that are not written on, are those muksa, according to Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Nissen Karelitz? Are those muksa? So the halacha is the following. If it's in a notebook like this, that it's bound together like this, then we say this is all one. It's all one object. And since I have tons of things written on the other pages that are not muksa, so since it's all one object, so we say the whole thing is not muksa. Okay? If it is a trapper keeper, like a binder, that, you know, you open it up and you take out papers, so there's a question, are all the, and some papers are written on, some papers are not written on, so that's a big discussion in the Paiskim. Some say yes, some say no, some say it depends. The papers that are written on are not muksa. The papers that are not written on, some say it's not muksa, some say it depends why you put it there. If you put it there just, you know, to have that you could take out, or to have it there for when you need more. Try not, if it's a trapper keeper that is not all together as one, preferably you should try not to touch those other papers, and therefore you'd have to turn those pages. Preferably not. If it's really something that you need in the part that's written on Shabbos, then you definitely have what to rely on, and we would say that whole thing is not considered muksa. I'm sorry? Okay, and are there blank papers in there? There's tons of blank papers? Okay, so if it's something that you know in advance you need, let's say they have homework they need to do over Shabbos, Preferably take it out before Shabbos. If you did not, definitely you have. They're gonna get lost anyway. But if you did not take it out before Shabbos, definitely you have what to rely on, that it's together. Especially the way Rav Moshe Feinstein says it, that you have it all there, just that it should be all together, not because you want to be able to remove them when you make a mistake. So I would say definitely in such a situation, even Rav Moshe Feinstein would say that would not be considered muksa.
So is it better to keep them all together, not to take it out on Shabbos, just to keep it in the trap?
Yeah, you could. I would think by there, and in such a case, you would keep it all together, because that's Rav Moshe's svar, that if you're keeping it, the reason why you have the blank papers there is that this way you have more when you need to, so then that's all considered one. You're not doing it to remove you there, so you should have more. Turn the page, I'll have more blank pages available to write on, so then Rav Moshe says that's not a problem. And anyways, like we said, there are plenty of places that can say it's not a problem. Bez Hashem, next week, we will do the halachos of a kli, and kli shmalach l'iser, like scissors and hammers, and how you allowed to move it. We have to discuss buses and other few halachas. Perhaps, hopefully, if we have time, we'll say a few minutes something nice about Purim. That's Hashem. Okay.